Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We want to give you a quick update from Aleka and I, and then we have representatives of several of the agencies that have been working in Haynes for the last several days, assisting us in our efforts. And so we'll bring them up. They can give you a little brief description of what they've done as part of their efforts, and then they'll be open for some short Q&A as well. I think it'll be best if we let them give us a brief overview. Let's get through all of them, and then if we can hold all the questions to the end, I think that would be the most efficient way to handle this, and then we'll just bring each one of them up when we have questions for them. As far as operations today, we had some better weather today. We were able to get the helos up a couple times going into some different areas. They're able to get over the slide area. They're able to get up into LUTAC, different areas in the town site area. The geotechs, the ones that aren't here, are back refining a lot of that data. We also had, actually it wasn't a helo that went up LUTAC, it was a boat. And we also had technicians on the ground covering a lot of areas when we had calls of increased seepage or possible flooding in areas or cracks developing. They were hitting the road and checking on all of those for us. So they've got a lot of data to crunch. They might have some answers for you tonight, but please be patient with them if they don't have all the answers, because they are still collecting the data and getting that so they have their best information for you. As far as the notice that we put out last night, I know that that caused some fear and anxiety for a lot of people. Those of you that were already displaced from Mud Bay and Piedad and stuff, you already understand that. It wasn't our intention to create fear and anxiety, but we looked at it as an EOC, and the information that we were given, we thought it was prudent to provide that information to the community, that to be ready in case a situation arose that we needed to move quickly to get people to safety. Our underlying deal was safety. Will this keep people in Haynes safer? And when the answer was yes, it was a very easy call for us. I told somebody earlier today, you know, if I screwed up somebody's weekend, I can apologize, but I don't want to go to their funeral. So I hope you understand that if it wasn't right, it was with good intentions why we did it. Do you have anything to look at? Or?
I don't. They've heard from me a lot.
Okay. Well, they've heard my voice a lot too, and I'm sure they're getting sick of it. So first, we'll bring up our law enforcement contingent. We've got Sergeant Zito with Alaska State Troopers, and from the Coast Guard, Lieutenant Balky. If you guys want to give a little overview on your operations here to date for us.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nick Zito. I'm out of Juneau. I'm the supervisor for the region, so I came up here to offer support to Haynesboro. I'm the incident commander for the local search and rescue at the slide. I just really want to say from the bottom of my heart, thanks to everybody that's come forward. This community has shown a great outpouring of support, more so than I've ever seen anywhere. Been really impressed, and all the partners that we've partnered up with during this. So over the past few days, you guys have probably heard a lot of stuff. I've heard rumors, some of them aren't correct. Some of them are, so I just kind of wanted to give you just an overview of what's gone on. Weather's been one of our biggest factors, as everybody's seen, for trying to offer support and operate from an operational perspective, get in and do what we need to do. We've used the Army Guard for overflights, temp school helicopters for overflights, the geologists who are in here, hydrologists, National Weather Service folks who made it in. Kind of been compiling all that data. I think we'll let them probably speak to some of the geological assessments, if they would, just about the areas over there that people want to get back to. As I understand, it's not safe. That's been one of the issues that we've keep running up against. So throughout this, we've done water-based searches with the Coast Guard, local Good Samaritan vessels, the Alaska Wildlife Trooper boats. We had the big boat Enforcer here, and some other boats. So we were doing water-based searches. We brought up Alaska Sea Dogs. a contingent of them from Juneau to offer that support and their guidance. So we use them. We also had a local JMR or a local Sea Dogs member here who also offered support with his dog. We brought up Juneau Mountain Rescue. Their main tasking really was to help operationally. They're an excellent operations group, so we utilized their expertise along with the other experts that came into town. All the volunteers from the Haynes Volunteer Fire Department, we also tried to use them as best as we can. Initially, we didn't use them as often as we'd like, but that's because we were trying to access that slide area with the dogs. Initially, the parts that we could, and we didn't want to put people in there and contaminate the area for the dogs to search. So if people have heard that some of those rumors, that's why that happened. We did a helicopter scan in addition to side scan sonar scans thanks to the Coast Guard. We also deployed an ROV with a local operator here on some of the targets we identified. Ultimately, we didn't come up with anything relating to either of the missing individuals, and I'm sorry about that. Hopefully we will in the days to come. That's still a kind of our goal and intent. The Coast Guard's gonna stay here a bit longer. We've got access to that ROV. I'm gonna remain here for the next, until Friday at least, to continue kind of, we're placing the search and rescue in a limited search and rescue kind of effort right now. So we've sent back a lot of those resources because we've exhausted them. There's not really much more that we could use them for. If we do have a dog need, we'll bring the dog back from Haynes to assist us. So that's kind of where we're at operationally right now. We're gonna meet again tomorrow and discuss that and go forward. We still kind of hope that folks in the community, if you see something, please let us know, or Haynesboro Police Department or the Fire Department know, so we can get out and try to identify it and look at whatever it is that you might see or find. So again, thank you everybody. I'll let Lieutenant Balky talk now.
Thank you, Sergeant Zito. I'm Lieutenant Maren Balky. I'm with Coast Guard Sector Juneau. Sorry, I'll speak a little bit louder. Lieutenant Maren Balky with Coast Guard Sector Juneau Incident Management Division. I've been plugged into the incident command post here for 3 days now, helping out Sergeant Zito with this search and tasking for the Kukui, as well as for my four members that I brought up from Sector Juneau. So we've been plugged in doing surface operations with the ROV, as well as beach searches, helping out where we can. Kukui, like you said, has been doing side scan sonar searches, and we're gonna continue those operations. I know as soon as we found out about this happening to your community, we launched a lot of assets out here to help you guys recover people and make sure we could get everybody that we could. But yeah. We're still going to maintain up here. We're going to be up here to maintain site safety and to support the community as we can.
Okay, and just for a clarification for everybody, Alaska State Troopers are 100% in charge of the SAR activities, and so we support them, but all the decisions on that rest with them. The people I'm gonna bring up now, they're supporting us. So they provide information to those of us at the EOC. We take that information and we make decisions off of that. So when neighborhoods are, when like last night's warning, that came from us. We judged the information that they brought to us, but that was 100% our decision. So I just want everybody to know who's making what decisions, so don't beat up these guys for decisions that we made. So first for the GEO team, I don't know their last names, I just know them as Katrine and Ronnie. So if you guys want to come up and talk about your, kind of sounds like a singing group, doesn't it?
Well, hello everybody. We are actually the four of us, we all are part of the same division, so we are part of the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, and all of us have worked on some aspects of landslides in the past, and we get a lot of questions about that, and I was thinking of giving a little short overview of landslides in general that might be useful. So one of the questions often that comes up is where do landslides occur and where don't they occur? So there's several things that need to come together for a landslide to happen. One is you need material on a steep slope that is not attached to anything, so it's just resting on gravity. And an instability can occur in that material when, for instance, you get a lot of rainfall. So really we have two components with landslides. There is the geological part that is very much a spatial component, and then there is the rain part, which is very much a temporal component. And we need to, as landslide scientists, judge both of these together. And so you get into space and time in ways which is not always easy to translate to the public. So what we do on the one side is try to figure out what's in the ground, and the other side is what's coming from the air. And what's coming from the air is, as the Weather Service is going to explain, an unusual amount of rain that we had over the last 10 days to 2 weeks. And this rain, this water, the way it responds in the landscape, it falls down. Some of that water infiltrates into the soils. Some of that water is running off into the ditches and the creeks. And so it's that component that of the water, especially when you get so much, that it starts carrying the sediment from the mountainside down with it into the ditches. But then sometimes when that water infiltrates into the soil, it can start building a pressure. And we don't always understand where this happens, because it all depends on internal structures of the rock and of the sediment. And so water infiltrates at a certain rate, the pressure can exceed the ability for the soils to hold together, and it starts pushing basically all that material down the hill. And this is why we are, as a team, looking for areas where soil has moved currently in the area to try to understand where there are potentially bigger landslides that still could happen, because some landslides happen early on in the rain event. Some landslides could happen much later on. So there's this delay period, and it's complicated because of the groundwater flow, where that may occur and where it doesn't occur. So we are monitoring rain, surface water conditions, where are instabilities happening. And today I was out looking at some city wells and determined that there is an unusual amount of pressure in the ground, and this could have consequences for other instabilities in the area. So you can.
So all of you might have heard encouragement to submit observations to us via the app Mountain Hub. That's a great resource for us to get data from the community. It's us four here trying to cover all of Haines, and all of you are out on the ground seeing things. We're all observing things at all times. So you can either use the Mountain Hub app. I think EOC have sent out tutorials on how to get an account and send that data to us. That comes directly to us, and we review that throughout the day. But you can also send informal observations to EOC or to some other folks that you might know that are already part of the EOC team. That works as well. We get that data as well, and that helps guide us to like where we should focus our efforts, where we see that overflow that Ronnie's talking about. I guess we could give a story a little bit about what we've been doing since we came here. We've been here now for, is it 3 days? 3 days. we've been quite hindered by the weather. Haven't been able to fly as much as we wanted to immediately. Initially, our focus area was the main landslide, the big landslide, and that was primarily to support the SAR search and rescue efforts, to have them come in and be able to be in that area and search. It's still an area that we find unstable. We notice instabilities around the top of that landslide area, so we don't feel safe to put people on the ground right below that. Houses south of the slide that have been evacuated, we feel unsafe about that area because of some instabilities that we noticed up on the slope, and that we'd like to monitor a little bit further and see how those things respond to the weather that we're having right now. We have also, we took today the boat up along Lutak Inlet. We were able to look at those areas up there on the saddle right by Lutak. Definitely, of course, noticing instabilities up there, somewhat localized, but these are instabilities that we're seeing. We noticed instabilities today that occurred today, suggesting to us that it's still unstable out there, and we want to see how the land is reacting to the weather that we're having. What else should we notice now?
Well, that we haven't yet been on the ground in many places that we would like to do.
Yeah. what we're still lacking for us, a lot of areas that we still haven't been able to see from air or from the ground. The low clouds are hindering us to get up to the source areas, which is really the areas that we want to look at to see, is this an area that could result in a landslide, given the weather conditions we're having right now. And I want to emphasize what Ronnie said earlier about the delay. That's why we're here. We're not going to leave the day it stops raining. We're going to stay here and see how things are changing.
I just want to say, you know, your observations are really important to us, and the EOC has sent out some communications about some of the things that are important that we're looking at in terms of what are present when the landslides occur or may occur. And so I encourage you to take a look at those kinds of communications, and if you see those kinds of things, definitely, you know, contact some people. Let us know. You're the best resource we have.
You guys got for this?
Yeah, I think that's all.
I'm sure you'll have questions shortly. We also have two individuals from the National Weather Service, Nicole Farron and Aaron Jacobs. If you guys want to come up and explain some of the weather that we've been having, other than it's just been raining and snowing. I asked him if we could get a forecaster from like a desert region to come up here and maybe give us a different forecast, but they said that's not possible, so.
Nope, you're stuck with a Farron and a Hannon, so. hi everyone, this event is obviously really impactful for my family too, if you know who they are. So essentially over the last 5 days, we've had approximately 13 inches of rain fall in the Chilkat Valley. And about 10 of that fell in just the 2 day period of December 1st, and 2nd, which just that 2 day, 48 hour rainfall amount is a 200 year event, which means that it's extremely rare, which is why we've never seen slides in at 27 mile and weird, all these weird places. And everything that we've added to since then is just continuing the super saturated soils, and essentially everything that's falling out of the sky is just runoff. The ground can't saturate it anymore. And I think the geologists would agree with that assessment. And so for that reason, today we decided to extend the flash flood watch until Tuesday afternoon. And the biggest reason for that is due to the instability, but also because we're expecting more rain tonight and through majority of the day tomorrow. Over the 12 hour period of tonight, We're expecting up to 3/4 of an inch of rain, and then another 3/4 of an inch of rain through the daytime hours tomorrow. So a 24-hour amount of up to 1.5 inches, which by comparison of the event we had on the 1st and 2nd, that's a very small number. But again, we're adding to that overall number, which makes it a extremely rare situation. And we are looking at some optimistic weather coming for the middle and the latter half of the week, which will be positive for our operations. Starting on Tuesday, we're seeing potential for more breaks in the weather, where we start seeing more like showers, where we get maybe a moderate shower and then a sucker hole or a sunny break. And what that also means is that nighttime temperatures with any breaks in the clouds will start falling below freezing. And so that's probably going to harden up some of the ground with each subsequent night. And so through the end of the week, we're looking at possibly by late week that even the daytime highs might not get above freezing. And yeah, that's the gist of the weather to expect over the next several days. Basically, more rain tomorrow, and then gradually improving Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but getting colder. And at the end, we're happy to take any questions, just like everybody else.
So does anybody, since we are kind of at the question period here, or wait.
We have DOT here as well.
Oh, Pat, yeah. Did you want to talk to everybody with DOT? Pat Carroll with DOT.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Pat Carroll. I'm the Deputy Director for South Coast Region DOT. One of my roles is the M&O Maintenance and Operations Chief for South Coast Region. Obviously, this event has caused quite a havoc on a lot of our infrastructure in Haines as well. So just to talk a little bit about some of the things that DOT has done, we brought in our maintenance superintendent from Juneau. We brought a mechanic to fix up our equipment, as we're working it pretty hard out there. We brought a geotechnical engineer. We brought in 2 equipment operators. We brought in a building specialist to make sure our building was in good shape. DOT has mobilized in some equipment. We brought in 2 large earth moving loaders on a landing craft the other day. We brought in a vacuum truck for cleaning out culverts. The commissioner authorized the ferry, LeConte, to transport any responding state agencies and equipment up here at no cost. So the ferry's been running and bringing people up here. DOT's really appreciates all of the contractors' efforts. You know, we couldn't have gotten our roads cleared without the assistance of local contractors. So we really appreciate all the effort that they've done for us. DOT does have all of our main roads passable right now. We still got some work to do on Menneker, not in very good shape. Piedad is traversable. We haven't done much at Mosquito Lake Road yet. Still got to get out there. But that's where DOT is at. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about what our goals were for tonight. We wanted to make sure that you understood what kind of resources we've brought into our community to try to help us through this disaster. The EOC has been largely bringing in assets and organizing them and trying to get everybody where they need to go. We did switch yesterday to a 24-hour EOC, so we have been there all night. If people have questions, we are there to answer your questions. The number is 766-6445. You will see that on our website as well. We recognize, again, just going back to for a second to what the mayor said earlier, we made a decision that our job was to convey information to you guys. and allow you to make decisions based on that information. And we have been criticized for scaring people. We don't mean to scare you. We are trying to provide you with information. So that's why we brought some of our professionals here, so that you guys can ask questions directly of them, and we would welcome you to do so now.
And one other thing before we get to the questions, one of the things we've really had to battle is false information and rumors getting out on social media, and people, I get this from a reliable source. If anybody has a question about something they've heard, go to the borough's website. All official information will be there. Call us at the EOC number. We will give you the accurate information. But there's a lot of misinformation and rumors that have been spread that have been extremely hurtful to people in our community. So before you pass that along, please verify it first before you start liking it or sharing information online. So, Stuart, you had a question?
I have a question for the geologist. So, like you say, you haven't been able to get out and fly and get your feet on the ground as much as you'd like, and you weren't able to probably go up into LUTAC as long as you would have liked and observed as much. So what specific things are you seeing that lead you to believe that the slopes are unstable besides the fact that we've had this giant rain event? Like, I mean, that's the obvious, safest thing to say. So I think people would appreciate to see, like, specific things, like, as far as, like, you know, movement or what, like, things that you've seen that are making you make these decisions or these.
Well, so thanks for that question. We basically look at the landscape as it is. Where are the smaller instabilities happening? And how does that relate to the rest of the landscape? So if you have a round basin that has a lot of big trees on it, it probably has a lot of soil, and its shape allows water, groundwater, to build up in it. The bigger that bowl shape is, the more risk there is in terms of that moving. Those kind of things we've been looking for. Does that answer your question?
Somewhat, yeah. And just one more. So the slide that happened, was that, to me, it looked like maybe potentially like it was like a bedrock event, like, because it seemed like there's hardly any overburden. So, like, I'm just curious if you guys have had any idea of what potentially cause that.
Well, it's still early in the process, but what I've seen is there is a contact between two different rock types. And when you have a contact between two different rock types, when the physical weathering is usually faster because one of them shrinks a little bit more with temperature than the other. And so soil formation is faster in that particular area. So that's one thing. So there potentially was more soil in that area than anywhere else. It did fill in the rock, and so the same forces happened there. So the rock was probably fractured more there because of the contact. Water can infiltrate more easily in these situations, therefore build up more water pressure in the soils. There were what we think are two glacial moraines that were higher up on the slope that could have, again, concentrated the water in that particular area, allowing more of that amount of water that fell out of the sky to infiltrate, again, adding to the water pressure of the soils there.
Mr. Yeah, I live out in LUTAC, and there was a mass exodus out there because we had rumors of a mandatory evacuation for a tsunami. Could you please clarify what went on?
So across the ferry terminal, there has been already a long time ago, I think it was 91, has been a rock crop that has been identified as a potential source for a tsunami. So what happens is that there's a large rock mass above the water that if it were to topple, it displaces so much water that it creates a big wave. and that would travel.
Are you talking about those two or three little lakes about?
We're not talking about lakes. Right across the bay from the ferry terminal, there is a rock feature with a large crack in it.
Mr. Buck, yeah. Where did you get the tsunami warning?
From one of the fellows coming down the road on a grader.
Because I don't believe that was an official one. State I know the EOC parks. Didn't have a tsunami warning.
State Parks told us.
State Parks told you? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to verify.
Yeah,
thanks.
Anyway, so it's one of the risks that we study is rock falls and rock slides in bays that cause tsunamis. So it's not unique to this area. It's unique. It's not unique to the world. You know, you have it everywhere.
And if before we go further, was it correct that after you guys have evaluated that more, that you figured that would be more triggered by a seismic event rather than a water event like we're having now? Is that accurate?
More
likely to. If I put you on the spot, I apologize. But
okay, yeah, this goes a little bit beyond my expertise. I'm not a seismic person, but there is some literature out there that suggests that rock masses are more likely to be triggered by seismic event than they are with rain events. But the two are not exclusive.
And I wanted to add to the gentleman in green hoodie earlier to clarify things that we are seeing. We have seen signs today that responded to the rain we've been having today on snow. Smaller localized instabilities, but we want to monitor those to see if those changes over time with this rain. So we're seeing small things happening since the major landslide.
I just think people would like to know like specific things, like what you're seeing, not just instabilities. Like what makes you say that's unstable by your eyes?
Okay.
I think people would appreciate that.
I can, and like, you might have seen it around town yourself, but it basically looks like a brown frown, a sad face on the slope. That's an opening in the ground. And we see that oftentimes in the winter, glide avalanches, some of you might be familiar with. Similar things we see in the soils right now. And when that crack opens too much and pressure releases, that's when you have a landslide. So sometimes we see those cracks just sitting there and weather changes and it stabilizes and it never goes. And sometimes it goes. And we've seen some of those frowns that we're not sure exactly when those appeared. And we've seen smaller slides over the past couple of days.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point that Katrine makes here. And for everybody here, if you see things like that, report it, please, because we have only a few eyes here amongst us.
Just a quick, I know that you can't really say, but we were talking about the colder weather coming and the ground maybe freezing. Does that tend to make it more stable or less stable under these circumstances?
So the sediment will, of course, while it's frozen, be more stable, so it allows you to walk on it. But deeper below the surface, the wetter it is, you're freezing, will be less deep. And so whatever goes on underneath is still wet and still needs time for that water to be released. So it will take time, really, before the soils are back to the way they used to be. And freezing is not going to increase that speed.
Thank you.
Jeanette?
So kind of to second to that, what does that mean for spring breakup for us?
When I heard earlier some comments, I was thinking exactly that. So all exposed areas that have no vegetation because of landsliding events now likely will have more instabilities during spring snowmelt.
Sally?
So my question is,
question. You said that you saw recent events over on the Beach Road area. Now, is that all along Beach Road, or are you guys just seeing most of the action where the current landslide is?
We've seen a couple of what appears from air that we could see today, a couple of fractures in the soil, so south of the landslide. And so we basically want to come back there, fly again tomorrow if we can, next day if we can, and just see, are these changing? We also have an instrument here in town, a laser scanner that we plan on going out and flying, and that will give us information underneath the trees. And that's what we really need to see, is what, how does everything look like underneath all these beautiful, huge trees? Yeah. That's what we can't see with our eyes right now.
Okay. So just a question on, so being that you guys haven't flown over those areas before and not knowing what some of that looks like, so it's all new terrain to you, is having people who've been up in those areas, living in those areas, looking at that same stuff, does that provide you with, because, I mean, for my concern, we live on that road, and we have indication that we're going to have cold temperature, which is, you know, kind of great for snow, but it's not great for those of us who have houses filled with water and pipes filled with water. So I don't know your duration on what time means, on how much you need to monitor that, and what areas, if any, are stable over there. We'd love to protect our homes a little bit or get water out. And if there's anything we can do to go up there and say, yeah, that was there, I'd like up there, that's been there, whatever.
Yeah, and that's a great comment. Really, yeah, if you notice changes in the landscape, like things have moved, things have shifted, you know, areas that used to have vegetation don't, that's absolutely great information to have, you know, and that really helps us, because that's one of the things we're doing is looking at changes, you know, and obviously we've only been here a couple of days, so we can't see necessarily a long-term amount of change. I mean, we have some imagery from before, but we're looking at what did we see yesterday and what do we see tomorrow.
And does it help having some of us go up there to those locations with you, or?
Well, we obviously don't want people to be, you don't put yourself at risk. Yeah. I mean, that kind of information is useful to us, but, you know, yeah, definitely don't put yourself at risk to provide information to us. But the answer is, the information is useful.
Would it be possible if someone like Todd here could connect with you guys once you have images in that area, that even if he's not there and you can't take him up on the chopper, that he could look at some of the pictures that you guys are looking at and say, oh yeah, that's been there 10 years or whatever. Would that be helpful to you guys?
Absolutely.
If we can,
yeah,
would you be willing to work with that?
And
you,
yeah, a couple people in that area. Yeah,
that's, that would be great. We are already having a couple of locals with us. Eric Stevens and Jeff Mosky have been working with us closely as well. And oftentimes we, you know, exchange ideas with them. Do you recognize this? Have you seen this?
Yeah.
And if they're not sure, we come back and look at Google imagery and see, was that there prior to this event? So yes, that's exactly the feedback that we need from you guys. Yeah.
And I think the subjective yes or no, it's different, is not always the best answer. So what we try to do is actually create images and put them right next to each other and try to measure, is this crack getting bigger? Or is it not getting bigger?
And then the second aspect of that question is the amount of time. I know we've heard stuff that 4 days from the last rain is when we'll deem it safe. Well, that could be May, right? So we're just kind of, how much, I mean, if I was in your shoes, I would have a really hard time saying, yeah, it's safe to go out there to anyone, right, at any point this year. So I don't know if you can speak to that. Or
yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. So I mentioned earlier that I was out looking at some wells, and we saw abnormal behavior of the groundwater. And we asked the city, I think it is, to install a pressure gauge so we can start monitoring that groundwater. And yes, it is a slightly different case because it's a bigger area than typical landslide area. But if we can say for sure that the groundwater pressure is going down, then we feel a lot better at that point.
Does anybody have any more questions for that?
I think the greater public is curious what's happening up Rapinski. Like, what are you guys seeing up there? Piedad, Young, that whole area. What's going on? When will we know more? There's a bunch of us that aren't at home with potential of a slide. Mm-hmm. We're all curious.
Yeah, this is one of the areas where we have been able to collect more photos. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen, again, small instabilities. We've seen the slides that happened in the gravel pits that come down from the mountain. What I saw today was a lot of groundwater coming out of the base of the rocky slopes. That is also where the city gets some water from. Now, it was an unusual amount of water. How do I know that? It's because Greg Palmieri was with me and he showed it to me. But I also know that because the creeks that are associated with those springs were running at flood height. And so normally they wouldn't do that in a normal situation. So there's definitely a lot of pressure on the groundwater in that area still. And so we are monitoring that still.
So were we still, last night you guys released this statement, you know, Piedad is evacuated, but kind of everybody else be on the ready. Are we still sticking with that idea because of what you guys saw today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
In that new dollar Rakuten, they could measure small increments of movement with satellite imagery. The volcanologists could. Can that be used in detecting movement here now?
SAR data is a useful tool in certain areas. It's not useful everywhere. It has limitations in very steep terrain. It has limitations in north and south facing slopes. But east and west is pretty good. We haven't gone that route yet. It's also winter. SAR data doesn't work with snow on the ground. So, unfortunately, yeah, it's difficult.
And also, Nicole? Often do you see cloud freeze?
Thank you, Douglas. Somebody, one of the people who've been speaking may have an answer, but I got emails from people that live on the other side of the slide wanting to know when they can get out there and get their personal belongings. Like most people, everything you have in your home is your whole life. And who can make that call between the people here? Because I can't, and then, you know, I come from the man's office, and I'm not going to tell them to go over there and go out there. So somebody should be able to tell them how you go out there and get your personal belongings.
That's not a question for them.
I know. You know, one of the guys who's in here is asking people or somebody. Because they asked me, and Douglas and him asked me to meet with me. And so I said, well, it's easier if you ask because I see several people that come on the other side.
That'll be an EOC decision. And we're basing that off of information from all of the sources we have coming in. And right now, no.
I do not believe that you should be waiting for the EOC to tell you that it is safe at any point to go home. We are trying to just help you guys analyze risk. That's what we're doing here. We're bringing in experts so that you guys can analyze risk. I don't think that we will ever be in a position to tell you that something is safe or not as the borough.
So you're not going to stop people from going back there by boat?
Am I going to stop people from going?
Is anyone going to actively prevent people from returning to their houses?
I mean, there could be a time where an evacuation is mandatory. You're right. Yeah, that could happen. Absolutely, it could happen. And one of the reasons that could happen is because we're not only talking about your safety, we're talking about the safety of first responders and other people. So. Yes, those are considerations that will go into place.
So it's not yet mandatory?
Correct. For LUTAC.
Oh, I mean, other side of Beach Road.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let's be clear. So my understanding is that Beach Road was a mandatory evacuation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And what we're trying to do right now, a lot of the information that was gathered today We are, they are, spending time looking at that data because we finally have a lot of data to be able to look at. I know you guys are anxious. We're moving as fast as we can, but we will be hopefully analyzing that tomorrow and probably the next day and have some time frames, because you're right, Jonathan. You know, there's different risks. Like there's some probably properties that have much higher risk than other properties on beach, right? And so we want to provide you with as much information and with as much focused information as we can, but we need a little bit more time to analyze the data sets.
Okay. Don't go too far.
Thank you for doing these information meetings. I think they're really helpful for all of us. So thank you very much for doing this. And then the follow-up part of this, what's your schedule for tomorrow for information?
For us, for information meetings, so we'll be doing our noon and regular 6:30 press briefings. That's when I'll do the updates to KHNS and then to the CVN. We'll also be posting our updates on the borough website and the Facebook page. Tuesday after our Tuesday assembly meeting has gotten changed, that it's just going to be dealing with the emergency proclamation that I issued last week, because that expires on Tuesday. So we'll be taking that up. After that, we're going to have a question. The EOC is going to be there to answer questions from the assembly. And so that'll be, if you want to listen in and find out what's going on there. Then on Thursday, we're planning on having a Zoom town hall that hopefully we'll have some of these same individuals there. We'll have more information to present and then also allow for questions and answers at the end of that. So those are the things we have scheduled right now. And anytime we come up with anything that we want to get out, if we come up with information that a certain area, it's safe for people to go back to your homes, we're not going to wait till the next press briefing. We're going to put that out immediately. We're going to go to the radio. We're going to go to all those sources, and that's going out immediately. If there becomes a greater danger on anything, that's going out immediately. But as far as the scheduled things, through Thursday, that's what we have. So,
is there any way? I live up Cathedral View, and I know that I don't. When I was taken out Thursday night, I know that they were building kind of a one lane up one side. Unfortunately, my driveway was on the wrong other side. I'd like to know, at least, have they got the road? So what's going on up there? And other roads like Cathedral, you know, I realize beach is an important thing and a top priority. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us who have road conditions like Young and the smaller roads, is there some way of getting that information that, yeah, the road is built, or pictures of what's going on up there?
So, Young Road, I think they have that open to some degree. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect till next year sometime. They're making progress on Piedad Cathedral. They pulled some of the crews off of there because of some of the warning signs. From what I know, we're going to hear from Ed Coughlin tomorrow, but that's going to be a priority to get Cathedral operational so people have access into that area. And so that's going to be a key thing working on starting tomorrow to get some crews up to Cathedral View to try and get that opened up, because that is one that some crews had to be pulled off of there for safety reasons.
And up there, I am a hydrologist. I am a little concerned as to where they're going to be putting culverts to try and take care of that water up there. I have a little background so I can provide some help since I live up there. Mm-hmm. And for me, I am very concerned that they may do something and pour more water into a creek that's up above my house that can't take it, and my house goes.
So one of the things on this that we're looking at, the roads are probably not going to be put back together perfectly this fall, but I'm going to fight tooth and nail for the next few years that any funding that we're looking at getting, we have the engineers address the issues that were created by this storm to make sure we know where weak points are now that we didn't know before. And we want to make sure that those get addressed, and that we don't get $1 million to do a $2 million job. We're gonna fight for those funds. And with the governor's asking for a federal disaster zone for Southeast now, that's going to open us up to a lot of federal funds that are going to help in that rebuilding process. Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Young have all reached out to us and said, as soon as that goes through, let us know what you need. We're going to, they're ready to go to work for us in Washington. They've identified where they can get the money from. And so it's going to be coming up with a plan this winter. Get and start working on that. So
this would be nice. And what priorities that we're going in? This is the first I'm hearing that maybe Cathedral View is going to be.
In the reason Cathedral View wasn't there is there were safety concerns in that area, that it wasn't just we didn't care about Cathedral View.
I understand.
It was like there were some things showing up there that for the sake of the safety of our crew, and that was one thing that was pointed out to me this morning by a DOT operator, that he's like, I was told I'm not safe in my house, but you're putting me out there on a landslide to clear that. He's like, what is more dangerous? And I was like, hello, yeah, why weren't we getting these guys to evaluate some of that before we're putting those crews at risk there? And so, I just want to tell you.
And I do have a little expertise that I can bring up up in the Cathedral View folks.
Absolutely.
Soils and hydrology.
Yeah, I'm sure Ed would appreciate that.
Okay. So two things to say. First of all, we're going to be putting a lot of Band-Aids on for right now. Yeah. We're going to put stuff back together good enough to get residents to be able to access their homes. Like the mayor said, we are hoping to have more long-term planning. As you may have realized in the Hainesboro, we often reactionary. We often don't have the opportunity to be proactive and really plan the best process. Where do we put the culverts? Because we're always in such a hurry. So our plan is to put Band-Aids on it so that we can return residents to their home and make a long-term plan that makes sense, and that we can hopefully finally afford in the way that we really want to do this. But the other point I wanted to make, if any of you have specific expertise like you're explaining here, please make sure we know about it. If you would please send an email to eoc@haines.ak.us so we can identify people with specific expertise so that we can make use of your resources. So that's really great. We want to make sure we know about you. So when we're putting together these engineered drawings and things, we would like you to look at them. Good. It's an invaluable resource, and we would like to tap into that.
Dean?
No, my understanding of that process is now that the governor has signed the disaster declaration, it goes into the next process, and now the application for FEMA has to be done on a statewide level by the governor. And I know that they're doing that. And there's also levels of FEMA, my understanding. So there's the basic level, which is more I don't know if you want to speak to this or not. You don't. Would you like to?
Real quickly, I won't.
That's great.
I won't go into detail.
That's great. We have someone here who can answer these questions.
Yeah, I won't go into very much detail, but my name is Chuck Cubison. I work in the State Emergency Operations Center. So we're the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and our job really is to. Do a good assessment, working with the borough, of all the damages, and we'll be working on that. And once that is done, we'll be sending that information to the governor's office, and we'll also be working with FEMA on doing assessments. It's very early in the process. We're really still more concerned about incident stabilization than we are about assessing the damages. But I'm here representing our office, and we will be working on that. And definitely I'm in contact with my office all the time, and we will be working on getting information to FEMA over the next few weeks. So it does take a while to go through all the federal processes, but I'm on the ground and we're looking at it. So
does anybody else have any questions for either our geologist, meteorologist, law enforcement that they want to?
I have one more, Doug.
Jeanette?
So you mentioned that Cathedral, you guys saw that it was still a little unstable today, doing things that you didn't like. So you guys will be assessing those every day and coming out and saying, nope, still really bad, we don't like it. Yes, this one's getting better. Is that the plan for the geologists? So we kind of know where to look to say, yeah, Piedad still sucks. Yeah, Cathedral still sucks.
Well, the thing I can say, yes, we will be looking at the groundwater situation. I saw the road and it's bad. I saw a 10-foot kind of hole besides the regular driveway. So, and then there are all sorts of cables in there. So I would not want to go back to my house with that situation. So, yeah, that's the situation right now.
And a lot of that is going to depend on the weather the next few days, on how fast, you know, we were delayed today because they had to move snow before they could do anything else. So
totally understand.
Yeah. Daniel?
Yeah, just one more thing. I'm just talking to Cole. We were at the harbor and witnessed the slide, and there was a mini tsunami event in the harbor. It was high tide. My guess was it was low tide, the harbor would have emptied out. What I'm asking is, have you guys looked at the other side of the canal? I mean, that slide was heading away from town. But something on the other side of the canal that was putting force here, is there a danger of that?
Yeah, so I tried to mention it before, that rock wall across the ferry terminal has been identified.
He's talking like on the mountains across from town here, so you look right from the boat harbor across?
Answer is we have not looked specifically at that mountain, no.
Okay, it's just a question because that slide definitely displaced water.
Mm-hmm. Is it geotechnical report?
It was away from the town of Haines, but...
Just there?
Yeah, there's a report of potential landslides and tsunamis and with maps as to where it would come into Portage and up into town.
I mean, if the side of Santa Claus lets loose, right now with what we got going on, I'm telling you, I saw the water that was displaced. It could become a problem.
And what Ann was telling...
That's what I'm asking, if we've checked out the geology of what's going on over there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Ann, but what you're saying is there's already been a report, on an assessment...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear everything.
Yeah, she said there's been an assessment on that,
that
already.
There was a report that was put out that looked at potential landslide or tsunami, both in Skagway and this area. One was in the Chilkat dealing with Davidson and potential what might happen if that was an underwater, and then if the mountain slid across the way. So yeah, there's a report out there. I can send it to whomever.
I think that's just the report I was also referring to. There's this one rock mass across from the ferry. If that could cause a devastating wave if it actually goes for the city, yes.
Yeah, and it has graphs of how high and so forth the tsunami waves might be.
Actually, we have asked the university to remodel that particular landslide. And I think tomorrow they might be getting some results of that.
I'd just like to add your observation about the water changing. That's the kind of observation, if you send that sort of information to us, that helps us down the road. We may find that.
I got you.
Yeah.
And okay. So one of the things, does anybody else have any questions before Richard?
Question. Yeah, on the slide itself, the mechanics of it, did it start at the road and work its way up, or did it start at the top and come down all in one big whoosh?
It is a little bit fuzzy to really know these things, but when I look at the shape of the slide, I think it started right at the base of the steepest part where the water can infiltrate rapidly along the fractured zone and create pressure in a low point like my hand, and then it starts bulging up because there's more water pressure than the soil can hold down. So the soil bulged up, and then it slowly might manage its way down.
So the notching of the hill for the road had nothing to do with it?
It could have had a small effect, because the bulging alone may have been prevented if the road would not be there would have maybe prevented the slide from moving. You don't know.
Any other questions tonight?
I would just like to give a big shout out to everybody who's just given themselves to this project, the geologists, the Coast Guard, you know, the DOT, you know, the borough. It's just been astounding to me to watch the outpouring of support for our community, and I just want to thank you.
The support you guys are seeing some of the faces up here, but the number of phone calls and the people coming into town, it's blown my mind, the amount of support and people checking in on us and wanting to find out how they can help us. It's been outstanding. It's been crazy. So before we go, just a little to wrap up where we're at. Last night, we had police department was out monitoring culverts and things, and they're starting to set up data points. We've kind of got some more people into that now, so that'll allow us to look for the signs that these guys are telling us. So from Cathedral View to Pitcher Point, we'll have some warning if things are changing, and so they will continue monitoring that as long as we feel that there's going to be any kind of potential danger, so we can have as much notice if we have to do an evacuation as possible. And so these guys are assisting us in figuring out what to look for, where to look for it, so we can be as proactive as possible on that. As soon as we get information from them where we think there's areas to safely return or change our warnings, we will get that out to you as soon as possible. I hate that everybody's lives is disrupted like this, but I appreciate everybody's patience in dealing with it. So, Aleka, did you have something to say before we leave?
You heard Corrine mention the Mountain Hub. It's an app, and it's also a website. It's an app and also for your computer. And we have actually not rolled that out as quickly as I was hoping we would. So you should be able, we should see more on that. Liz and I had a little bit of a miscommunication about who was putting that out. So you should see that in the next day or so. And we're putting together both the tutorial and how to get it and what we're asking you to do. So look for that on the website, and it will be pushed out through Facebook as well. But look for that soon.
So all those data points from that Mountain Hub, it's going to go into a database that these guys can access, the state guys, university. A lot of people can start looking at that data, and the more of that data they have, the better decisions they're making, for better information they're giving to us so we can make a better decision. So
I could say one more thing about that. Sorry. It's a lot of people up here. And so we did put that into place for borough use yesterday. And I know that the Haynesboro Police Department was going out all night long, and they monitored specific sites every 90 minutes and took pictures of those sites and posted it to this Mountain Hub so that we can trace any changes over time. We as the borough are putting it in place, but we really need you guys to help us to add those data points, because the more information we have, the more informed decisions we can make.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all. So I know we're